Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, broadcasting from beautiful South Bermondsey, this is Achtung Millwall.
Down the middle. He's got Elliot overlapping him. Can he find him?
Yes! Two boys! 4-3! Neil Gregory! The two boys! Lee Gregory! The 50 shades of the middle! 4-3! Lies the game of death! What a game! What a game! What entertainment! What drama!
Welcome, 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 dear listeners. Welcome one and all to the penultimate home game of the season. This dreary, this drab, this endless season. Obviously today's critical fixture, yet another critical fixture for us today against Stoke City. Visit us to the Den today. One win does it, dear listeners. One win will produce a situation where we're safe in the Championship for another season. We've been struggling to get close to that in recent games. Those of us who watched the game on stream on Easter Monday against Villa will have despaired of the rather lacklustre, wishy-washy display we saw from the Lions that day. Let's hope for something a lot better today. The only change in today's lineup is the return of Sean Williams for the injured Ben Thompson. Major loss, major, major loss for these last three games of the season, critical games. Otherwise, it's the same lineup we saw at Villa Park. So we've got Dave Martin in goal, middle defender, central defenders with Jake Cooper and Alex Pearce. Marlon, guessing Shane Ferguson will come further back to left back position because Meredith has dropped out of the team. Midfield trio, therefore, will be Tunnicliffe, Williams, and Ryan Leonard. Forgot the other one. On the wings, Jed Wallace, Ben Marshall up front. The lonely goat herd himself will be Lee Gregory. Remember the third midfielder. There's an indication of old age for you. Dear listeners, it happens to us all. It happened to you too one day. It's a grey, windy day. It's not cold, but it's certainly not warm either. The flags are fluttering in a fairly stiff breeze out there. I think there's Storm Hannah hitting the country up north somewhere. It's not been too bad down. It's only been windy. Lions today in their familiar dark blue shirts, white shorts. Stoke City, you know, nice to see traditional red and white stripes, white shorts, white stockings. I don't like this modern trend of unrelated away kits. Do you like that, dear listeners? Do you pander after the third kit world of, colours have nothing to do with the traditional history of these teams? I don't. I'm a man of tradition. Man out of time, perhaps, some would say. Been an odd season. Don't know how you feel about it. I've written down my notes here, a combination of colourless, humdrum monotony with sprinklings of histrionic drama, such as Everton, Brighton and Sheffield United away. Otherwise, it's been a dreary old campaign. It'll be nice to get through to the end of it. Just as I'm speaking to the heroes, they were heroes of 87-88, including Teddy Sheringham, are doing a lap of honour prior to the game, get the crowd fired up. What great players, what a great it's a Legends Night, I think, the club are organising an evening in the company of. those players. They're just doing the rounds at the moment. So it's going to be the Lions that will kick us off attacking the away end in accordance with common law legislation since the time of the Venerable Bede in the Anglo-Saxon Chronicles. It was listed that Millwall will always attack the away end in the first half and kick towards the cold blow, therefore, in the second half. So here comes Lee Gregory, straight from kickoff pretty much. He's surged into the penalty area. He's through on goal. Hacked wide for a left-sided corner. Right-sided corner. Just 16 seconds on the clock. I saw a goal the other day, scored by, I think it was Southampton, scored inside 8 seconds. Fastest ever goal in the Premier League. I do remember in the 70s. Was it Alan Ball or was it Tony Curry? Scored inside 4 seconds. I think that's some kind of record still. As it is, Shane Ferguson's going to take a right-sided corner. Dens filled up nicely. It's not a full house by any stretch. 1:30 kickoff day. In comes said corner. It's into the near post. It's going to be headed clear. Stoke are mid-table. Shot on into the pack and away. Stoke come into the game with the script of mid-table, respectability going nowhere. So we're hoping that they are read the script and will roll over and die without too much hassle on our part. That was the script against Brentford, of course, and look how that finished, where we were lucky to escape with our trousers still on. Lions have started brightly. There's another throw-in on about halfway inside the Stoke half. A minute and a half on the clock now as I'm saying that. So Lions have opened up the screen with an attacking intention, which is what we would expect at home. A lot of criticism been meted out on the Real Mill fan show last night. I don't know if you tune into that show. If not, why not? That's a free kick for Stoke, as I'm saying it. Criticism of the squad, the quality, the commitment over the course of the season. Not been good enough. Clearly not been good enough. We come into today's game 3 points clear of the third relegation spot. Rotherham play later today, away to West Bromwich Albion. We've come with a three-point gap and a substantial goal difference. But there is a sense that other results and other clubs' failings have combined to produce a situation where we have a chance of safety. It should be a probability of safety. Do we deserve it? Well, yes, because we've produced enough results in the context of the league we're in. But overall, it has been a poor season and one which I, for one, will be glad will be over with within a couple of weeks now. Two more games to go after this. That'll be the home game to Bristol on Tuesday night, and then we really do hope none of us need to go to Wigan on the last day of the season. I don't want to go to Wigan. Whoever wants to go to Wigan in this life, not me, that's for sure. So questions. A lot of the squad are out of contract, I read on the internet feeds, the Twitter feeds. Clear out, one would imagine, at the end of this campaign. Summertime must bring a change of faces. It's become too much the same old, same old. I'm hoping there are youngsters coming through. I'm hoping that the recruitment team can do good business and bring in players who will produce better for us next season. All of that said, the big caveat of the moment, in the light of Bolton Wanderers players not having been paid for a couple of months and not staging today's home game against Brentford in protest, it's a strike fundamentally, for which I want to say well done. Solidarity, as the saying goes in trade union circles, solidarity with those players. So life could be worse, because that's a club that's clearly in deep, deep, deep financial trouble. And you know, I know that we all want to achieve as much as we can achieve at the den, but I do think sometimes it's a case the devil that you know than the devil you don't. And John Berylson's stewardship, if nothing else, has produced stability. I know we don't aim high, and every game has to have a cup tie atmosphere of us against the world. But would we have it any other way, really, as Millwall fans? Probably not. So be careful what you wish for, as the other cliche says. A lot of security outside. It's 1:30 kick-off today. We're kicking off early. Stoke obviously has a reputation, and I guess this is one of the higher grade fixtures, Class A, is it called? No, it's a drug, isn't it? Grade A? Well, I don't know. Whatever the rating is. A. A lot of multicoloured baseball caps on the police teams outside. Batons ready for the any gilets jaunes that have made it over from Paris. Incidentally, that's quite something to watch week in, week out. You see very little of this on mainstream media, as they say, but do tune into the social media from whichever side of the fence it's being broadcast. The pictures are quite astounding that go on in Paris at the moment. Riot police openly beating protesters in the streets. There we are. That's a wild ball by the Stoke defence. This gives Marlon Romeo a chance to come down the the right wing has gone into touch. 7 minutes on the clock, incidentally. Talking about the loss of Ben Thompson to that hamstring injury in the first half at home to Brentford last week. What a major loss that is for us, given the impact he's had since he's come back from Portsmouth. There really ought to be enough in this squad to produce a result in the circumstances of today. That said, here's Stoke on the break on the right, 7 minutes. Been pushed wide right. That's a ball across the box. Great save by Dave Martin in front of goal. Overlapping forward down the left-hand side. Poor defence. Great cross. Very brave save at the feet of the oncoming striker. He's gone down hurt. Magnificent save by David Martin on the 7.5 minutes. He's up on his feet. Good applause for David Martin. Ben Amos is the substitute goalkeeper. Jordan Archer having disappeared into a time-space continuum, into that black hole that we saw pictures of the other day, no doubt. He's just gone. No one even talks about Jordan Archer. One of the Desparacidos of Millwall. A reaction from the Stoke fans. Stoke are still on the attack here, ball in from the left hand side, that's up in the air, that should be bouncing around still on the edge of the middle penalty area. We should be clearing this. Stoke still in possession. Good atmosphere. Stoke always bring noisy away fans with a rep. It's a tasty fixture, and all Mill fans will know what I mean by the term a tasty fixture. So Stoke still with a possession on the edge of the middle penalty area. They're passing the ball around. They're going to break in on the left side. That should be cleared. It is cleared for a throw in on the left side. A little bit of pressure. They're looking a decent side, and they're clearly playing with the freedom that we saw from Brentford, the mid-table freedom. They're not going down. They're not chasing anything particularly, so they're playing their champagne football. Good friends, Neil Harris and Nathan Jones, apparently. Nathan Jones apparently lived off the Old Kent Road, so he spoke to the Stoke Sentinel. What a great name for a newspaper, Stoke Sentinel, saying he knew exactly what to expect from a trip down the Old Kent Road in Bermondsey, what kind of game he's going to get. They've opened up quite well, in all fairness. 11.5 minutes. Harris speaking to the News of Dent said he has Jones has a style of play that he wants. Different style of play to what we produce, that's for sure. They seem to keep the ball, pass the ball, hold it, move, and as we've seen so many times this season, attack our flanks, the left and right wing. They've worked space. There's a left side move down the wing. Good tackle by Mollet, still in possession. That's hit the crossbar. Wow, blast shot. That's another slap shot back in. The goalkeeper performs another miracle. That's luck combined with skill there, dear listeners. It's looking like the Keystone Cops at the moment. Somehow Mill survive a shot that hit the crossbar, and then the rebound shot straight on the slap, straight back at David Martin, who's fended that one off for a right-sided corner. Mill living by the skin of their teeth at the moment. By rights, 14 minutes into the game, we should be 2-0 down. 2-0 down we should be, as it is, it's 0-0. Right-sided corner. In it comes. Deep, 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 across the face of the box. And Marlon belts it clear to for Jed Wallace to chase down. He's not going to get that, unfortunately, unless he's a greyhound. Lions on the rack inside the first 15 minutes. Stoke City clearly another ex-Premier League side with the cushion of the parachute payment. I know that money can't buy your love, can't buy you many things. It can buy your quality on the ball. We don't really have that, in all honesty. Poor ball from Jake Cooper. We've seen that with the slap pass from Ryan Leonard at Aston Villa, which opened up a passage of play that eventually produced their goal. It's not right to bang on about individual errors. I catch myself sometimes, particularly say with Ryan at Villa, going on about that slack pass. But unfortunately, we're at a level where you just can't afford individual errors. If you do make it an error in those positions, you're going to get punished. Such is the reality of the league we're in. If we can't hack it at this level, then we need others that can. Or if we can't find those others, then we're probably going to get relegated. Let's hope it's not this season, at least. Long ball falls towards Lee Gregory's. That's going to be a goal kick. 18 minutes. I have a mental image of a cat toying with a mouse at the moment as Stoke come forwards. That's gone into touch on the left side. They pass the ball back and forth. It's almost like they look for the weak area and then look to attack it. And at the moment, the weak area seems to be going down the left side. The right side, their left wing, sorry. 19 minutes. A few people on Twitter pointed out the lack of possession time, the ball. I know it's our tactics. Neil Harris would answer that by saying we look to soak up the pressure and then then hit on the break. If that works, it's fine. If it doesn't work, then basically you don't have the football for the majority of the game, and other teams do, and they punish you for it. Will that change next season? That's one of the $64,000 questions. I'm sounding so depressive. I apologise. I'm not a depressing person, actually. I'm by nature quite an upbeat, happy person. But you know, you got to call it like you see. And at the moment, there's a halfway line, the throwing halfway inside the Stoke half. At the moment, on 20 minutes, we've not really been in this game to any great level. Stoke really ought to be two ahead, and that would really put us on the back foot if that were to come to pass. Well, it's pushing towards the halfway point of the first half. It's been pretty much Stoke City's opening quarter. This is Lee Gregory. That's going to go for a goal kick as he took and turned to try to put the ball into the mix. A damning statistic for you, dear listeners. Jamie Pryor, who I think is behind the alternative commentaries. Great work by Jamie Pryor, but great work for this statistic. He's analysed goal contributions. This is where you score or you assist a goal. Jed Wallace creates a goal or a goal assist every 513 minutes of play based on this season's statistics. Ben Marshall, one goal, one assist, so two moments, if you want to call it that, in 1,453 minutes play. One goal or goal chance every 725 minutes for Ben Marshall. Just not good enough from our main creatives. As it is, this is Stoke City still in possession, halfway inside our Millwall half. Maybe a line up for a shot that's clattered into the backside of Ryan Tunnicliffe. So it goes. We just haven't had the players capable of creating chances to score sufficient goals. An extreme contrast for you, and I know that Norwich are top of the table and by far and away the best team in the division, and this is one of their best players, Teemu Pukki. But just as a contrast, in 3,674 minutes of play, he's created 38 goals or goal assists, one goal or goal assist every 96 minutes, contrasted with one for Jed, 513 minutes. I don't particularly dig Jed out. I am digging him out, I know, but there's a contrast for you, and that's why we are where we are. A little bit of loose play by Stoke, almost dispossessed the defender there by Ben Marshall, but we do win the ball back. 24 minutes as the crowd start to express their support. Also a little bit of dissatisfaction with the fact we're on the back foot. Ryan Tunnicliffe calling possession, that won't please Harry. And giving Stoke the chance to take away that little bit of momentum that Lions are starting to build there. You do get a sense that Stoke are building to an opening score here. In it comes from the left, that's into the mix, that's almost a free header on goal. Flashes across, as the man says, fucking hell, whoa, that's right. That flashed across the middle goal there, it was almost a free header on goal. Should have been three, nil down, 25 minutes gone. There's the scale of the situation that we face. As it is, it's 0-0, just, I don't know, maybe God is indeed a Millwall fan. It might not always be apparent over the course of our 130 odd years of existence, but at the moment he certainly is. Another breakdown our right. Stoke are all over us at the moment, dear listeners. Gregory, very lonely role, got the ball played forward from Ryan Leonard there. We had three red and white stripes around him, no one to take and pass to, and it goes straight back to Stoke's possession. 29 minutes, it's been a drab display so far by the Lions. Marshall probably drew a yellow card for that offence there. He caught clipped his man as he went past him, who is fundamentally took and turned quicker than Ben Marshall was able to accommodate his stride with. If that makes any sense, I'm not sure it does. So Marlon just couldn't beat his man as he took it on the chest. Unlucky. He was trying something a little bit more left field there. Didn't quite work, but we approve of anything left field, dear listeners, don't we? We like anything unconventional. Not the stereotype. That's what we like. This is Stoke on the edge of the middle penalty area. Almost broke through on goal. Ferguson clears as the Stoke forward there was kind of interchanging almost down the middle of our defence, like a knife through butter. Ball in from the left now from Stoke. It's pressure. That's taken neatly enough at the near post by David Martin. 31 minutes. If Rotherham lose today at West Bromwich Albion, a draw would be sufficient to relegate them and keep us up. If my auntie had balls, she'd be my uncle, I know. But at the moment, Lions are clinging on somehow. Don't ask me how. Divine intervention is all I can think to a 0-0 draw that would be good enough, probably, subject to Rotherham being defeated at the playoff chasing West Bromwich Albion. So it's not quite done for yet. Although how we're still in this game is an open question. Here comes Stoke down the left hand side before I start counting any chickens. It's gone for a corner on the left. Mrs. Hart and I went to see the opening night of Man of La Mancha, a little light musical at the Coliseum, London Coliseum, the English National Opera. Opening night, how about that? We like to raise the cultural levels of this show. The standard big number of the show is to dream the impossible dream. I thought, coming away from the theatre last night as we were driving home, I thought how apt that I was going to watch Kelsey Grammer, ex of Cheers and Frasier, who did very well. The lead was the lead female was very good. Cassidy Jones, I think her name was, fantastic singer. And but what an odd combination of events to be that call has gone into touch, by the way, to be driving away from Man of La Mancha with its themes of chasing justice and glory, doing the right thing in the face of the harsh reality of real life. And I thought, I was dreaming, as a Mill fan, we dream the impossible dream constantly. So there we are, Man of La Mancha, go and see it, it's good, great female lead singer, Cassidy Jones, I think her name was. She made an impact on me, let's put it that way. 37 and a half minutes. Incidentally, if you do go and see Man of La Mancha, it took me a while for me to clock that one of the villains of the piece, I won't spoil the show, I don't think I can spoil the show particularly, but was Nicholas Lyndhurst of Only Fools and Horses, who is a very adaptable actor. I know there's a lot of Only Fools and Horses fans around the Mill scene, and he played two parts. One was a barkeeper and one was a kind of a gangster in the play, and he did both with aplomb. So yeah, it took me a while to actually dawn it was Nicholas Lyndhurst, but he's also in the show alongside Kelsey Grammer and Cassidy. That move breaks down for Millwall. 38 minutes, you can start to hear the reaction of the crowd. It's becoming restless, dear listeners, becoming restless. There's a half-time whistle, you can hear the reaction. It's been disjointed, it's been a poor show by the Lions in the first half. It's 0-0, which is good enough, but 0-0 is not quite what we're expecting to bring to the party today. Stoke have looked by far the better side. They've had at least three chances to score, should have scored two, three of them. As it is, the Lions have looked very, very off the pace. So half-time at the Den, to booze, 0-0.
You're listening to Achtung Millwall.
A few half-time tweets for you, dear listeners. One from the MSC, Mill Supporters Club. Half-time, and apart from the McLean, I didn't realise James McLean was out there. The effort that hit the bar, there's been absolutely nothing. Straight passes, poor ideas, lack of creativity and no real fight, says the MSC. We need a big second half, and someone needs to tell this side we are still in a relegation battle. Yes, we are, MSC. Jane Jacob, always with a pithy opinion, Janie. Leonard is shit, she says. Can't disagree with you there, Jane. Play DJ says, as he said the other week, possibly she, as he said the other week, the club needs a new fresh approach from management, coaching, staff, down to players. Mill halfway line says, after a determined start, it's been a difficult half. I think that bright start from memory was about the first couple of minutes, MHL. Gregory looks very isolated, he does. Marshall's confidence looks shot, it does. Jed looks burnt out, it does. Mistakes creeping in all over the pitch. This formation badly needs a Thompson. Luckily, a technically superior Stoke only look half interested. I still think they've had a lot more chances than people have they've given them credit for. I make it, we should have been 2 or 3 behind, but there we are. Dan says, bring Fred on. That's desperate, Dan. Desperate, Dan. I see what I did there. Bring Fred on and get some pace into this team. Grumpy Grimace says, good shout, but we know it's going to be Morrison. Jane says again, the midfielders don't go past the halfway line. You get the picture, dear listeners, don't you? You get the picture.
Achtung, Millwall.
Brawled it out, the Mill side. Return for the second phase of this endless game, this endless season rather. Lions will be attacking a cold blow lane in the second half. It can only get better, can't it? It can only get better. It's a chilly day. Chap down in front of me is in the de rigueur pink Ralph and beige shorts. I don't know what's fueling him. Something's keeping him warm. I'm hoping it's alcohol. I think it's a bit chilly, personally. I'm here in my peaky blinder and scarf. But anyway, there we are. Away we go. I've gone for my Albert Stepso fingerless gloves. Well, you feel the cold. A few from the WhatsApp group. Harry's describing this at the moment as a functional performance, a point gained. It will be if we can see it through. I do accept that. It's not pretty by any stretch of the imagination. I think we should be a couple of goals behind. We're not. I know that we're dealing the score as it is, 0-0, 49 minutes. Been a bit of a pause in play. Harry's asking who would we bring on, and the response is Fred, which causes laughter, ripples of laughter. He's on the bench today, incidentally, Fred, so possibly to try and showcase him to get rid of him at the end of the season. Awful moment from Leonard. He steps on the ball, runs straight into a Stoke midfielder. Now Stoke are on the surge forwards on the right side. Comes towards 50 minutes. It was one of those Beckton Park moments for Ryan Leonard, sadly. That move breaks down for Stoke. This is Jed. What can he do? Coming down the left flank. 50 minutes. He takes his man on. He's gone past him. Can he get across it? He can. He's still on a roll. This is Jed. Shot in at the near post. That's batted away by the goalkeeper. Gregory was lurking at a far post. Could have gone anywhere. Good run. I don't know how Jed was allowed to go so far so long, but he was. It's going to be a Lions corner on the left side. Ticking towards 51 minutes. In it comes. It's a deep corner. It's headed away at the near post. Quality of our crossing. We've said it a few times on this show. For me, quality of our crossing has been consistently poor. That was a poor corner there. Clattered on Jake Cooper there. It's going to be a free kick on the right side. Cooper found himself with the ball at his feet in possession on the almost in a wing play role there, but he's got clattered, so I think it's probably the best outcome we could have hoped for. So drawing the free kick, chance of Ben Marshall to the ball back into the mix. 51 and a half minutes. In it comes Ben Marshall. It's deep near post. It's headed away, falls to Ferguson. It's all the way back now to Marlon Romeo in the centre circle. It's dinked back in again. Coos to Cooper, falls to Sean Williams. Ball clatters into the defender, took a deflection, took all the sting off of it. 52 minutes, rolls through to the goalkeeper harmlessly enough. There's a little moment there where Williams caught that ball on the volley. Powerful shot, but straight into the body on the floor there, which took the sting out of it. No danger there in the end. The Potters, Stoke known as the Potters for the now long gone pottery industry that used to build the porcelain for the world at one point. Stoke-on-Trent, the Burslem, places like that, Port Vale. That's taken quickly to Jed. Cuts inside, he's dispossessed. Stoke bring away. Ball into the middle. Beats everybody apart from I think he's a six. Again, the numbering on their shirts is very hard to spot. Stripes combined with a blue number that just really is hard to read. So I apologise for my lack of... I can't even give you the number of these players. That's poor, isn't it? It's the six. He's come over to us. McLean drawing some attention, the 11. Northern Irish player who controversially refuses to wear a poppy each year around November. What can I say? Traditionally, it was a personal choice to wear a poppy or not. I always wear one because for me, it represents respect and acknowledgement of those who gave the ultimate sacrifice. He chooses not to for his own reasons. The smell of exotic tobacco wafts across block one again. On a cool day, it gives it the air of a kind of Cairo market, perhaps, a Cairo coffee bar. McLean again. Balled into the middle. That's gone over the top of everybody there. But Stoke do recover possession on the right. Danger's not over yet. Ball back into the middle. That's headed up and away by Pierce. Beautiful work by Jed Wallace. He beats his man. Nice to see a little bit of freedom by Jed. He's run straight into trouble just as I was praising him. I damn him. Where do you stand, dear listeners? Is it a matter of personal choice as to whether you wear a poppy or not? Should you be booed for not wearing one? I think it's a matter of personal choice myself. Traditionally respected. These days of identity politics, less so. But there we are. I wear one. Others choose not to. That's their free choice, in my opinion. My humble opinion. Damn me if you like. 60 minutes. Long ball forwards. That's gone for a throw-in on the right side. The Den, of course, is traditionally never the most liberal of arenas. Thankfully, McLean's crossing so far has been as poor as our crossing, so probably that's all that really counts on this day, certainly. It's a very, very breezy day. The flags are erect in the breeze. This is McLean, as you can probably detect. Oh, that's flapped across the area there. It was almost a mistake by David Martin. I think the wind is playing its part as any ball comes into the middle penalty area. It's being blown in the breeze. Lions fans urging on their side. 62 minutes. Millwall throwing. Marlon down by the right side, corner flag. Finds Marshall. Back heels into the path of Marlon. He finds Jed almost into the path of Jed. It's taken away from him by the Stoke defence. It's Steve Morrison time. Ben Marshall's going out to some applause. I don't think he's drawn much very high approval ratings, to use a Trumpian expression. Steve Morrison comes in. I guess we're going to go 4-4-2. Morrison and Gregory up front as the old traditional. What's that drink Don Draper used to drink in Mad Men? It was the old-fashioned. It's the old-fashioned approach. Half 66 minutes, halfway through the second half nearly. The Lions have been more in it in the second half. It's not been quite such one-way traffic. That's put straight out just as I was praising them again, into for a goal kick from Tunnicliffe. First half I thought was pretty much us clinging on for grim death. We rode our luck. Second half has been quite as bad as that. We've not been brilliant, in all honesty. Functional is probably doing it the best service I possibly can. 66, nearly 67 minutes on the clock. Cross leftwards, deep. I think that was Ryan Leonard. It falls now to Marlon at the edge of the box. He shoots. That's nice shot, actually. It was just about 2 or 3 yards off target. Looping kind of shot. Bounced a couple of times. It would have been difficult if it had been on target, as it was about a yard wide of the left post. We looked a little bit more logical and coherent now that Morrison's come into a 4-4-2. I think the three-man midfield only works with Ben Thompson. It wasn't working for the bulk of this game. It's looking a little bit more lively now. But here are Stoke on the attack. A little moment of danger to come down the right side. 87 minutes. Right flank. Ball back into the middle. That falls to the... Oh, it's bouncing around. Oh, fucking hell. In the end, Martin pounces. There was a moment that it may have been a penalty shout. Shirt tugging. The man's claiming. Ball seemed to stick for an eternity in front of the middle goal. As it is now, we're on the break. 87 comes towards 88 minutes. This is Gregory with Jed overlapping on the right. Ball floated into the middle. Ryan Tunnicliffe into the mix. Oh, blasted wide from close by Lee Gregory. How crucial a miss will that be? How could he miss it? End-to-end stuff, dear listener. I think it was a moment of eternity when the ball seemed to be stuck in front of our goal. And on the break, it falls to Lee Gregory in front of goal, who puts it high when the easy option seemed to me to be to put it into the net. 88 minutes. Even the booing for James McLean has lost its venom. Such has been the dispiriting nature of the game overall. In all honesty, I don't think it's been one of the Mill's better days. We're just about clinging on now. Last few seconds of the game, ball head tennis inside our own penalty area, caught on the volley, bravely blocked there by Ryan Leonard. We're going to be dependent on how Rotherham do at West Bromwich Albion, it seems. Still a few seconds of this game to go, so better not start counting our chickens just yet. But if it does turn out, it's been poor. There it is, 0-0. I don't think the boos are deserved for the second half show. It's a functional point, let's be quite honest. We're going to be dependent on how Rotherham do at West Bromwich Albion. If West Brom can do us a favour and beat them, then happy days. Massive chance fell to Lee Gregory late in a game, blasted high over the bar. That probably sums it all up for the season. There it is. Full time, Millwall 0, Stoke City 0.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
It's the Lucas Ball Report.
Full-time from the den, and it's Millwall 0, Stoke City 0. It's a poor game. And the Lions are going to have to wait and see how this Rotherham result pans out. Poor game all round from both sides. Stoke the better side in the first half. Possibly could have had a penalty on having rewatched it since Nathan Jones' post-match comments. He thought Alex Pearce should have been shown a red card as the ball, I think it was Bauer's scuff shot that went across goal. And the Afobe was there, and the save was forced from Dave Martin, who did well. But Pearce had appeared to have tugged him back in Jones' view. And, should have seen red. The Lions in the second half, the better side, pushed a bit further forward. Jed Wallace in that more central role looked more dangerous, more creative. And his pace certainly caused problems. But his end product, again, Jed, just not quite there. And that's really been the story of his season, I suppose. Harris said he'd been carrying knocks throughout the year. So maybe that's been half the problem. But, Ben Marshall, again, not at his best today. And move on to Bristol City on Tuesday night. Come on, you Lions.
Just got online, dear listeners, and cancelled my hotel booking to go up to Wigan the night before the last game of the season. It's going to be next Saturday. So thank the Lord I don't have to go up to Wigan. I can cancel my booking, and I'm on the more pleasurable internet transactions of the season. Just cancelling that hotel room. All of this, of course, you know by now, by the time you're listening to this show, due to West Bromwich Albion's eventual 2-1 win over Rotherham. When I got back in the car after today's game, it was 1-0 to Rotherham. And I must admit, even though the odds still favoured us, after that lacklustre display by Millwall today, and I'm not going to beat around the bush, that was a poor display at home today. The first half we were awful, second half we improved. But after that lacklustre display, I must admit the nagging doubts were starting to creep into my mind. So fair play to Rotherham. They gave it a good go. They showed more bottle than maybe we expected. But in the end, with that 2-1 defeat and the point gained today over Stoke, from the Stoke draw, that means that Rotherham are relegated. 45 games played, 40 points for Rotherham, 22nd. The Lions, one place above them in 21st. 44 games 44 points, so they can't overturn that. And there was always that minus 16 goal difference in any case. So happy days, dear listeners. Cue a slice of rocking all over the world. Let's celebrate with our pink champagne, as Harry has already shrewdly identified Steve Evans a few years ago. Digging us out and celebrating with pink champagne when Mill got relegated. For me, as I posted on Twitter earlier on today, survival raises a lot of questions for Mill Football Club, because we just about did it. It was seat of the pants stuff, and in all honesty, there were moments in today's game where we should have been two or three goals behind in that first half. And the faults and flaws of this squad have been apparent pretty much all season. Today's game, in a way, was the season in a nutshell. We never really played well, for me, today. But defensively, we were awful. We were pulled apart by a Stoke team with really nothing to play for. Mid-table respectability for them. And yet they managed to move the ball with speed and pace and movement from wing to wing. And they got crosses into the box, hit the crossbar, I remember. And a couple of other chances from, you know, on another day they would have scored. So for me, we rode our luck. Thankfully, if there is an almighty deity, I don't think there is, incidentally. But if there is, he's clearly a Millwall fan in the 2018-19 season, at least, because there was a hand of something else in the way other results combined, and the fact we got so lucky when we needed it most today. Speaking after the game, Stoke City manager Nathan Jones, he's been gone too long, hasn't he? I think I've cracked that joke already. Claims he should have had a Stonewall penalty. I don't remember a Stonewall penalty during the course of the game. I think that was possibly when, second half, there was an incident where their player was claiming a shirt tug inside the penalty area. There was one heart-stopping moment. I think we made a break out of defence and went on the attack and went close ourselves from that move. But he's claiming it was a Stonewall penalty. He's right in saying that Stoke were entirely dominant during the first half. And yes, the second half was a bit more end-to-end. We lost control a bit, but we defended superbly well again. It's disappointing, but I'm proud of the fact we're playing for pride. Yeah, they did. I thought they played well. Probably would have been disappointed with the first half. By contrast, Neil Harris is honest enough to say Millwall haven't played at our best for a few games now. That's probably, there would be a few that would pick you up on that, Neil, because I think the whole season we've not played at our best. But the players care, he says Bomber. I think they probably do. I think it's quality where we've fallen short. They're all watching the telly downstairs waiting for other results, because that's how much it means to everybody. The time for summing up the season is going to be next Sunday. No, it's actually now. Maybe this when this interview took place with Neil, we weren't yet assured as being safe. But the time for summing up the season is now. For me, as we've said a few times on the Real Millwall Fan Show and over the course of the Achtung podcasts, we've fallen short, way short at times this season in terms of quality. We haven't fallen short at times in terms of spirit. There's clearly enough spine and steel in the base of this squad of players, but there were moments today where average players played below average, turning below average performances. And that's not going to be good enough in the Championship division, which is the Premier League Mark II. It's where if you aspire to be more than what you are, you've got to build a squad and a style, perhaps, capable of moving us away from the bottom of the table towards the top. Now, we went close last season with a madhouse run towards the playoffs, which was built as much on adrenaline rush and sheer mania and a bit of luck. Got us close last season. We need to tap into that. That's our secret weapon, that madhouse Millwall ability to turn, draws into wins, especially at the Den. We've been poor at the Den. I'm not sure the style at times has really helped us. Can it change next season? It kind of has to. There's going to be a clear out of players, a lot of out of contract, a bit of speculation as to who should stay and who should go. It's hard to see Steve Morrison in anything other than a coaching role increasingly next season. His appearance today did certainly change. We went to 4-4-2. I can't say he made much impact. He hasn't made much impact for a while now, and I think Steve Morrison must know that himself. So we need to find an alternative to Lee Gregory carving out the single striker role. There's no future in that other than another season of misery and endurance. Who knows what Tom Bradshaw will do, what he'll come back like. We don't really know what to expect from him, to be honest. We saw him barely before he got injured. And, maybe he will be the striker that will get the goals, because we look bereft today. Lee Gregory, there's always the urban myth. I've mentioned it already, that he wants to get back up north. Maybe his missus does. He may well have to, he's got family, he's got more things to think about than just Millwall Football Club on that front. So if Lee does go in the summertime, I know he missed that sitter of a chance today that would have certainly buried Rotherham before, they would have taken away hope from them whatsoever at the Hawthorns. For me, Lee Gregory is my player of the season. For the work rate that he's produced, I know he's not scored the goals, I know, and he's a striker. He carries the number 9 on his back. He's our lead striker, but the work rate that he's put in, for me, means he's our player of the season, if we can't vote for Ben Thompson. Dave Martin, a very brave goalkeeping display today. So certainly I think he's done enough to deserve a deal. Marlon, obviously, I can't see any circumstances where we want to lose him. Pearson Cooper, if we can retain, whether we need to sell Cooper, if we can retain Pearce, I think that would be an asset. Shane Ferguson, yes, keeper. James Meredith came in late. Question mark for me, James Meredith. Jed, I think someone described him as burned out. He does look like he's very tired. He's carried the team on his back. He can't carry on carrying the creative hopes of a whole club on his shoulders. He's a keeper. Ryan Leonard, in today's team at least, raises huge questions for me. I mean, he's our £1 million striker. Maybe he'll look better with other players around him. I don't know. He's been a disappointment for me, if I'm going to be absolutely blunt. Sean Williams, getting old, 32, be 33, didn't do much for me today. Marshall, no, I'm going to say send Marshall back. His crossing has been consistently poor. The Marshall we saw last season in the madhouse run was not the Marshall we've had back from Norwich. Send him back to Norwich and see if somebody else will pay him the kind of money he needs. But we can do better, we have to do better. Tunnicliffe today, no big deal. I wouldn't mind, if he stays. I wouldn't mind if he goes, to be honest. He's one of those beige players. The substitute bench is probably where the main casualties will come. McLaughlin, Onyedimma, Amos, Elliott, Morrison and Scalak. Each one, you could probably say, time's up, So clearly we need, if you ask me what kind of dream Millwall squad would I have, we'd have one with more youth, more pace, sprinkled with experience, and a Millwall spine. Today we saw poor quality. We in the end, we saw enough spirit to get a point, and that was enough in the end. But there's got to be more quality overall. From the internet, from the Twitter, Tony Monday comments that we are lucky bastards. Wasn't that an Ian Dury song, Tone? There'll be some clever bastards. Lucky bastards. Harris and Millwall, says Tony. Let's hope this is a lesson for them. I agree. I agree with you, Tone. Shit season from start to finish with minimal bright spots in there. I'd have preferred, Tony would prefer a relegation back to mid-table mediocrity, but we didn't even put up a fight. I think I would have preferred mid-table mediocrity with some glimmer of hope for the future, if I get a choice, because I looked at Stoke today. I mean, a mid-table mediocre side, but they clearly are moving in a direction where you can see that possibly with investment and, next season, maybe they'll go some places. We need to start seeing that at Millwall. Dan posts, it sums the season up when the best result of the campaign could be West Bromwich Albion, hopefully at this stage when he posted, beating Rotherham. Jamie Pryor, alternative commentary, Jamie,
one of the bright spots of the season for me, says if we keep hold of Gregory, he's going to get a season ticket in the CBL Upper next season, because he keeps putting match balls up there, and if he wants to collect them at £90 a pop, he'll make a fucking fortune, says Jamie, over the course of the season. Glenn Clark says, good to survival, but we need big changes, crying out for new strikers. A proven goal scorer. Yeah, they're few and far between, Glenn. I'm hoping, we all hope that Tom Bradshaw will be said proven goal scorer. Who's going to work alongside him being the question. Danny says, Jay Rodriguez, West Bromwich Albion's Jay Rodriguez, missed the penalty at the Den in a game that went on to win. The same man scores a penalty today against Rotherham, which looks to secure our safety. We have been extremely lucky this season, says Danny. I agree with you there, Dan. Merv Payne says, it doesn't feel like we've been in a relegation fight, more like the scene from Some Others Do Have Them. There's a great old scene. Some Others Do Have Them, where Frank Spencer is flying out of control on a pair of roller skates clinging onto the back of a bus. It did have that kind of Keystone Coppery kind of feel today, Merv. And that was an incidentally great selection of nostalgic comedy there. The MSC at full-time posted Mill have secured another point and stepped towards safety at this stage. In truth, says the MSC, it was an awful game from both sides, and any positives can be written on the back of a beer mat. And pointing to the failure of others, hopefully keeping us up at that point. Danny Lewis Holmes is over the moon that we're safe, even though we've gone a shithouse way about it in these last few games. It's word of the times, shithouse. I kind of don't like it. I'm no prude, but I just don't like the word. Anyway, shithouse these last few games. Please, Millwall, Neil Harris, get some decent players, says Danny Lewis Holmes. We've watched enough bad football. Welcome to life as a Millwall fan. The London Taxi Soviet, great name. Learn the lessons he calls for the club. Bigger squad, more pace and bloodsome youngsters, says the Taxi Soviet. Stupocalypse, I love these names. Stupocalypse, he says his major concern with the summer is that in the past we've hardly ever got our transfers right. We've certainly signed a few duds this season, Stu, I agree. Let alone stage a massive overhaul with many new faces needed. I mean, we couldn't get January right when it was blatantly clear we needed another forward. This is going to come down to investment and the willingness of John Berylson to invest in the squad. Clearly, on a day like today, where in other, you know, another place, Bolton have been unable to stage a Football League fixture because of a strike, effectively, by their playing staff, because of financial issues, deep, deep, deep debts, and players not being paid, staff not being paid, and possibly, who knows what's going to become of that. That there's a clear road forwards to Bolton being thrown out of the league for failure to complete fixtures. The Football League, in their wishy-washy, namby-pamby way, are calling upon the club to complete the fixtures using youth players and maybe the cleaner up front or something. So we've got to be a bit careful what we wish for. I don't want to see us overstretch ourselves. I am of an age where I recognise that relegation is not the end of life as we know it. We have to start to build a style and a fabric for club. At our best, Mill Football Club is a club that develops youngsters, brings them through, and fans identify with their own. I mean, look at the adulation that Ben Thompson gets. Also, you know, we're using a style of play that hopefully will showcase their talents too, in a way that others will want to join, and maybe we'll bring in, you know, selected Premier League loans. Maybe there's a route there to try and improve our quality, because we've got to do better than what we've done this season. That much is for sure. Finally, I'm going to close this particular show with Jake Sanders, who says there's something about drawing 0-0 with a Stoke team that have nothing to play for, and then relying on Rotherham to lose at West Brom to ensure survival, that feels rather fitting after this season. But it is job done. It is job done, Jake. Job done for Mill. So well done, Neil Harris. Well done, Mill squad. Many, many lessons to learn. And we can at least relax now Tuesday night. I think I'll make Tuesday night and then the Mill fans show that follows on Thursday this week our final shows of the season. So I won't say in my little thank yous yet. I'm going to save those up for the show's late. I'll probably do one on Tuesday. And I'll probably do radio show, the fan show, on Thursday. So I'm going to leave it there for the moment, dear listeners. Thank you for listening to this week's show. I hope you've enjoyed it. Arrivederci, Millwall, and we'll see you later on in the week.
Oh, ho, Bermondsey, that's home to me. I'm longing for a moment when I shall see the happy, laughing, razor-slashed faces of the people I love.
You've been listening to Achtung Millwall, the CBL Magazine podcast. That's the Millwall news this week, and we are out of here.
And now I miss the smell of the gasworks and the people I love. I've so many childhood memories of that quaint old-fashioned town. There was a quaint old-fashioned schoolhouse till the school kids burned it down. I'm off to Bermondsey.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.